Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to Get the Edge, our 7-day program that's going to start you into the process of transforming your body, your finances, your relationships, and your life. This program has really come out of my own pursuit of excellence. You know, in my life, I'm always looking for those little edges, those distinctions, those ideas, those strategies that once you understand them, they give you the edge. They give you the advantage in life. I don't mean the advantage against somebody else. I mean, it gives the advantage to anticipate what you need to do to achieve what you really want from your life. So the areas of life that matter the most to us, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our relationships, our finances, our spirit, those are the areas that I spent the last 23 years of my life studying the best of the best. And so this program is designed to give you some of the best distinctions, strategies, tools, and action plans that you can take immediately to improve each of these areas of your life. And I think you're going to find that some of the tools, for example, on how to create explosive growth in your muscles, or how to create more energy, or how to really take your relationship to the next level of passion, or how to find the relationship you want, and how to make certain once and for all that financial abundance is yours. These strategies, I think you're going to find, are going to be invaluable to your life. And you may want to listen to these tapes again and again. But the ideal is to listen to one session a day, if you can. Then when you're done, we have a great video for you that will show you what's called 10 Minutes to Explosive Muscle Growth. It's my interview with Pete Sisko and John Little, who are the two researchers that did this study with weightlifters. But I'll tell you what else they did. They worked with a group of people from 35 to 60. A lot of these people were not bodybuilders. They were golfers who saw an explosive change in how far they hit the golf ball on their drives, but also experienced all these wonderful changes in their personal lives. And we interviewed some of those people on the tape, so you'll get a chance to appreciate the kinds of changes that are possible for you as well. Now, in this first tape, I want to start talking to you about something that's missing. Yeah, missing. What's missing from your life? You say, wait a second, nothing's missing from my life. I live in America, for God's sakes. We're on a roll. The country is in total success. We have economic success. Technology is transforming us. We have the lowest inflation ever. Everybody's got a job. The lowest unemployment that's ever existed. Low interest rates. I mean, look what's happening. We're living in the greatest time to be alive. You read the other day about a man who loses his hand and they just sew it right back on. Or someone else who lost both of their arms and now with artificial hands, using a chip in his brain, the man played a song on a piano. Well, you're right. We're living in the most incredible time to be alive. There's never been a time like this. There's never been as much opportunity to live and to enjoy your life. But most people aren't. I mean, yeah, sure, there's opportunity out there. Take a look around. I mean, you name it, we got it. Most of us today are living a life that the greatest pharaohs and kings would have worshipped or had begged for. I'm talking about those of us who have challenges in our lives. People that are really struggling are living better than the greatest kings and pharaohs of ancient times. I mean, they didn't have the privilege to be able to say, you know what, I'd like to fly to another part of the earth within a few hours. I mean, if someone had come to them, some magician, and said, we can get you so you can fly, they wouldn't have said, how many hours can I make it to Australia? Just flying, they'd say, here's a king's ransom, go for it. I mean, come on, think about it. They didn't have someone spending $200 million to make a movie to entertain them for a mere 2 hours. I mean, we got a whole industry that does that. That's the world you and I live in. It's unbelievable the times we're living in. We're living in the most incredible time a human being could be alive. But that's no guarantee that you're going to have the most incredible life. Are we all feeling like we have the edge, that our lives have extraordinary quality and advantage, that everything is wonderful? Or are we stressed out of our minds? As a society, if you live in America anyway, we're 5% of the world's population, and we represent now 80% of the world's cocaine usage. You know, kids today are 10 pounds heavier on average than they were 10 years ago. We haven't changed as a species in 10 years. We've changed as a culture. Right? You look around, the average American is 32% heavier today than they were 10 years ago. What is happening is we are drugging ourselves into submission because we are working so hard to enjoy our abundance, to keep up with the Joneses, to have the edge or advantage, that we've forgotten what the real edge is, an extraordinary psychology. See, technology doesn't give us the edge in life. We all heard that, boy, you know, sooner or later, technology is going to make it so you have a lot more time. How's that work for you so far? I don't know about you, but with email and with Palm Pilots and beepers and cell phones, I haven't found a great deal more time in my life. fact, I seem to have less. I have to take control of it if I want the real advantage. The advantage is understanding what you want from your life and living life on your terms. We got to decide in these next 7 days what would give you the greatest quality of life. Not Donald Trump, not your brother-in-law, not what you've read on the internet. What do you want for your life? What's going to give you real fulfillment? Not success on somebody else's terms, because success without fulfillment is failure. So my goal in these next 7 days is to get you to develop a couple of simple habits, to make a few simple decisions, to take a couple of actions that'll begin to create a momentum for your life that will take you to the point where you will stand tall and say, I love my life. This is what I've always dreamed about. I am not willing to settle for less than I can be or share or create or give in my lifetime. And I want to take advantage of this incredible time to be alive, and I want to enjoy it to its fullest, and I want to make sure I contribute in a unique way. And 500 channels of television with nothing on but infomercials, and 8 million different forms of computers and music and email and instant messages and beepers and cell phones and remote access to the internet, none of that's going to transform your life. Your life is going to change if you do nothing, because life is changing so rapidly around you. Your body's going to change whether you want it to or not as time goes by. Your relationships are going to change. People are going to die. People are going to pass on. People are going to change their beliefs and values. Everything in your life is going to change. You don't have to work at change. Change is automatic. Progress is not. To get the edge, you have to decide that you're going to make progress in your life. You're going to have to decide that you're not going to be one of those people just drawn by the river, and you also can't get off the river and just sit on the side, because life keeps moving. You got to step in the river, and you got to direct your course by knowing what you want for your life. Now, why don't most people do this? Because most of us are so stressed, we never take time for the thing that's really missing, time for ourselves. I mean, what's really missing is we don't ever contribute to ourselves. We're so busy taking care of our children and worrying about our spouses and our friends and making sure at work we're accomplishing the tasks on time. And the last person that gets taken care of is us. And we live in a society that's supposed to be so selfish, so many people talk about. But the truth of the matter is most of us are working so hard to make sure everybody else is happy that we aren't happy within ourselves. And so I want to talk to you about what's missing. Time for you. I mean, when do we really stop and feel? I mean, really feel, remember who we are and what we're about and what we want from our lives. Most of us never find that time. And so what happens to most of us is since we're constantly in the action of doing, you know, the old phrase, we're not human doings, we're human beings. It's kind of corny, but it's true. We don't take the time to be. And so what occurs is, out of the stress of doing, constantly competing, trying to make sure we achieve and we contribute and take care of the family and we make sure everything happen, most of us, to survive, look for a way to stop and distract ourselves. And so we drug ourselves. And the drug isn't always regular drugs. We don't call it drugs. We call it food. Because if you eat enough of that stuff and load up, guess what happens? All of a sudden, you relax. You know, especially if you overeat, all that blood rushes into your stomach, you know, and you start to breathe again. Did you ever notice when you're going, go like this, you're not breathing very much? That creates just a bit of stress. And some people, that's not enough. They get CNN, and then they're working on the internet simultaneously, and they're getting a conversation on the other side because they figure if they can keep enough things going in their head, they can forget about all the stuff that's stressing them. You know, they don't even care about what's on the television. They don't really care about what they're surfing on the net. They just need an escape. But, you know, you'll never escape your way to fulfillment. You'll never escape your way to joy. You'll never escape your way to an extraordinary life. The only way you get that is by deciding what that means to you. What is that extraordinary life? What is that fulfillment? What is it you want? And that's got to be a process that is consistent, not something you do once in a while when you got a birthday with a zero on the end. Not something that you do, you know, at New Year's where you sit down and go, all right, you know, I better look at my life, see how I'm doing. All right, let's make some resolutions that I know I'm going to break within the week. And then I'll check in on them maybe a year from now, next New Year's, and see how I'm doing. That's called recipe for failure. Do you think most people in life are fulfilled? Or are most people in life stressed? Now, let me tell you, stress is a code word for fear. See, when somebody says they're stressed, that's because they don't want to say, I'm fearful. You go, no, I'm just stressed. I have all these things to do. Well, why are you stressed about it? Well, if I don't get them done, if you don't get them done, what? Well, then everybody will be upset. Well, what if they are a little upset? Well, then I'll have failed. Well, if you fail, what does that mean? Well, you keep on digging. If they fail, they feel like if they fail, then they're worthless. If they're worthless, they won't be loved. You know, stress comes from making things more important than they really are. And most people in life are spending all their time majoring in minor things. They're putting all their focus, all their energy, all their attention on responding to the reactions of the moment, rather than stopping in that timeless place of who you are and saying, gosh, what is it that I really want today? What do I want to create? Because I got to tell you something. everything in the outside world, everything around you that you like or dislike, that's stressing you or that you're thrilled about, was first created on the inside. Everything that you're experiencing in your life, your relationship, the way your kids are, your job, your opportunities, it all started with decisions you made in your head. Decisions about what to focus on, decisions about what things were meaning, whether you should be upset about it, or whether you should learn from it, whether this is a challenge, an opportunity, or a crisis. And the decision about what you're going to do, these decisions are shaping your life. You got to understand, getting the edge simply means this: 80% of success in anything in life is psychology. The ability to manage your mindset, your ability to find the opportunity in any situation. This isn't stupid positive thinking where you just sit around and, you know, go to your garden and say, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds. I don't believe in that kind of positive thinking. It's garbage. There's weeds there and you got to pull them out. But you got to have enough intelligence, enough psychology to say, I'm not going to see it worse than it is. Because, you know, people say, I'm skeptical, I'm pessimistic. Oh, garbage, you're fearful. If you say you're skeptical or you're pessimistic, what you're really saying is, I'm afraid of being disappointed. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to look naive. So I don't want to be hurt again. But I got news for you. If you're going to have an extraordinary quality of life, if you're going to get the edge in life where the passion and the juice and the joy and the fulfillment and the happiness and the love and the family is, where the Kwan is, like Jerry Maguire talked about, right? Where you got it all. You got the love, the respect, the connection, the contribution, the money, the fun, the fame, the whatever. Whatever your definition of the ultimate level of life, that edge comes when you master your mind and your emotions. But you know what? 20% of your success is mechanics, and they do play a role. And sometimes our mechanics are getting in the way of our psychology. Sometimes we've structured our life where there's no time to think or be. So you say, okay, if you rant and rave, what am I supposed to do? All right, you start to kind of say, I should take some time for myself. Where am I going to find that? I got to get up. I got to take the kids to school. I got to make it to work. I get it all done. I come back home. I got to pick them up. We got to take them to dance lessons, to soccer. Well, you know, then I got to work on my homework. Then I got to answer all my emails. When am I going to do this stuff? Stop. We all get what we have to have. That's it. The most basic principle, getting the edge, is for you to understand and for me to remember, for all of us to remember, we all get our musts, we don't get our shoulds. You know, everybody's got a list of shoulds. I should take time to work out. You know, I should take time for myself. I should actually go on a diet. I should make more calls. I should just allow myself to listen to some music and meditate a little bit. I should do my taxes. But most people do any of this stuff. They just, what I call, should all over themselves. You don't want to should all over yourself. Here's what's true. What you must do, what you believe is a must, happens. Right now, you're earning what you must earn and not a dime more. Not what you want to, don't get me wrong. And listen, I know I sound like I'm ranting. That's because I'm a nut. But by being a nut, I've achieved a lot. I've achieved a lot of things in my dreams and goals that have happened because what I am is I'm unreasonable in my expectations. So if I sound unreasonable, it's not to be disrespectful and it's not just a rant. It's because I know I've spent the last 23 years of my life now with more than 2.5 million people from every walk of life, from presidents of countries to presidents of companies to parents to children, best sports people in the world. I've had the chance to find the difference in people, and the difference is in their unreasonable psychology. That unreasonableness has gotten them to say, this is a must and I will settle for nothing less. And those individuals, whether it's a woman like Rosa Parks on a bus who says, no, I will not move to the back of the bus. That was completely unreasonable. She had no way to back it up and she changed the world. Or a little lady, tiny woman with no background, no education, no money, who decides she's going to change the world, Mother Teresa. Person who, by the power of her will, her psychology, her unreasonableness, by making it a must to help people that no one would help, by making that her must, she changed the world. When she died, every major leader in the world flew. 100,000 people lined the streets to watch a woman who supposedly had no resources. Unreasonable men and women shape the world. If you want to get the edge, you got to get unreasonable. The way you get unreasonable is you turn your shoulds into musts. And I'm here to tell you, you're earning what you must earn. You have the time you must have. You know, if you say to me, oh, you know, I really want a relationship, but I'm not in one, then your relationship's a should and not a must. What's really a must is you don't want to be hurt. It's a must not to be hurt. And if it's a must not to be hurt, you're not going to be in a relationship. Because if you're going to be in a relationship, there's going to be hurts. That's part of the nature of relationship. But there's going to be more joy than you could ever imagine too. Right? The advantage. You want to get the edge? Get over your fear and tell yourself the truth. Get honest. Get honest with yourself and make these things a must. And you got to schedule them, which is what we're going to talk about in this first tape. We got to take a specific time each day where you break away from the hypnosis of the culture that tells you to settle for less than you can be, that tells you not to get your hopes up, that tells you you should protect yourself, that tells you that basically your life cannot be what you dreamed about as a child. And I'm here to tell you that as long as you buy into the culture, you'll be like the majority of the population who have no advantage and have to settle for a life that really is what I call no man's land, a life where they're not really happy, but they're not unhappy enough to do anything about it, a life where there is no passion and no real drive, just that sinking feeling that your life does not have a real meaning or a real purpose, but you got to continue. That's a place no one wants to live, and that's unfortunately where the majority of people live. Do you agree with me on this or disagree? If you disagree, I'm respectful of that. But if you want more, and if you believe that that's possible, and you're the kind of person that won't settle, then this is the first session in you reclaiming your power. It's the first session in you putting your foot down and saying, I will not be denied. It's the first session in you saying, my body, my mind, my emotions, my relationships, my finances, my career, they're not going to be perfect, but they're going to be extraordinary. And it won't be overnight. But what will change overnight is my expectations of myself. Not my expectations all suddenly be perfect without any work. This is not a little cajoling session to say, I'm going to pump myself up. I'm going to be Stuart Smalley and say, I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I'm kind enough. And by golly, people like me. No, some people don't like you. Some people are going to fight to try and keep you from achieving. Some people are going to tell you you're wasting your time. And some people are going to try and trip you up with people that you love. And it's not because they don't love you or they're trying to hurt you. It's they don't want to be left behind. Or they don't want, you know, your success to make them feel inferior, like you're achieving, or even if you're not succeeding, even if you're striving and they're not, there's contrast in that. That's part of life. You don't have to think anything else is to be dumb, and you're not dumb, or you would have turned this tape off a long time ago. So give this thing to somebody I don't like. This guy's crazy. You know, I am a little crazy, but he got out there an hour before anybody else when he was on that basketball court his whole career. If you ever went to a game, you could get in the building an hour before. There he was, bouncing the ball on every single spot on the floor for an hour because he wanted to feel that floor and know every inch of it. I mean, these are people that practice the fundamentals. You watch Michael Jordan, I got to be there at that last shot for the last moment of his career, and it looked so picture perfect. He stole the ball, remember? And it looked like he was posing almost. And I got to ask Michael about it personally afterwards. He said, I wasn't posing. I was exhausted. He said, I was going right back to that final stage, just going one, two, three, going right back to the fundamentals he did in high school. So I'm here to just be a good coach to you. What a good coach does, they're not any better than you are, but what they do know is what you're doing and what you're not doing, and they can remind you and then get you to do it. Ultimately, they can't do it for you, but they can bring your focus back to where it needs to be. If you did nothing else in this entire tape program, but you made a decision right now to say, 1 hour a day, the first hour of the day is my hour of power, and here's what I'm going to do. Here are the mechanics. They're simple. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to immediately start moving. Put my shoes and socks on, put on my jacket. If it's snowing outside, if it's raining outside, whatever it is, or go on the, if you want to stay indoors, go on the treadmill, and I'm going to walk. And during that time of walking, maybe I'll grab my Walkman and I'll have some music without any lyrics, so you just hear the music. Or you might want to listen to your favorite song and get yourself cranked up and then turn the music off and then begin to think of what you're grateful for. That's my first thing I'm going to do in the morning is be grateful. And I'll tell you why. You know, I met Sir John Templeton years ago and I said, you know, Sir John Templeton is one of the greatest investors of all time. He's a multi-billionaire. He's in his 80s now. I have a real role model. And I said to him, I said, tell me, Sir John, I said, what is the secret to wealth? He said, Tony, you know, you teach it. Gratitude. He said, how many people you know who seem to have everything and they're so unhappy? And then you see somebody who seems to have nothing, but they're so grateful and they're rich. He said, gratitude is everything. But you know what the problem is? We all know this, but we don't do it because we haven't created a time, a ritual that makes us do it every day. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, how many books have you read? How many tapes have you listened to? How many times you realize, of course, I need to get back to my gratitude, or of course, I need to increase my passion, of course, but you don't have a place to do it every day. See, the people succeed do this stuff every day. And I'll tell you the secret. If you talk about stuff, it's a dream. It's never going to happen. Talk is cheap. If you start to envision it, you start to visualize it, you start to get excited, and that excitement can start moving you towards it. When you start planning it, it's possible, but when you schedule it, it's real. Schedule means it is there. That's what you do at that hour of the day, no matter what, every day. And if you put your focus on this every day, put your focus on yourself, you can't believe what'll happen. In fact, what I started to tell you was about love. And I left that out. Let me come back to that. I started to tell you about loving yourself. I said two things. We said you have more self-esteem by pushing yourself, but also loving yourself. People say they don't love themselves. You know why? They don't do for themselves things that they would do for people they love. Hey, listen, if you and I are in a relationship, or if you have a relationship with somebody and you want them to know you love them, what do you do? What do you do to let them know you love them? What are some of the things you do? Well, some people say, well, I spend time with them. Interesting. And if you don't spend time with them, do they feel loved by you? I mean, even if you really do love them, I mean, I found myself, I have so much going on in my life, some people I really love and adore and I haven't spent time with them and I know they don't feel loved. And that's not true, but that's what they feel. So if you don't spend time with yourself, how can you ever feel loved by yourself? I mean, you just can't. And what else would you do? You say, well, I do things for that person. You know, I try to do little things, or I try to do big things, or I try to surprise them. When's the last time you did that for yourself? You know? So you say, well, I'd give them a hug. When's the last time you've done something for yourself physical? When's the last time you've been gentle with yourself? When's the last time you've rewarded yourself? And by the way, time for yourself, where you cultivate what matters most, there is nothing more important. Nothing. Because if you make everyone else in the world happy and inside you're not connected to yourself, you will feel so empty that none of it will be worthwhile. And you've seen so many people in life. We all have famous people and those not famous who seem to have everything, right? They had the money, the riches, everybody loved them. They were rich and famous, entertainers, singers, actors, and then they kill themselves because they made everybody happy but themselves because they didn't really connect to themselves. They used distraction. They used alcohol. They used cigarettes. They used cocaine. They used, you know, something, television, the internet, their business, anything to distract from the fact that they're running around achieving things that don't really matter to them. Or maybe they matter, but they're not taking the time to enjoy it. So it doesn't feel like it matters. You know, so often like things go by and your week or your day is a blur because you haven't stopped to say, what were the magic moments in this day? So the steps you're going to go through is first you're going to think about everything you're grateful for. And what I do is while I'm doing this, sometimes I do this first in the shower. So I like to get up sometimes, wake up that way. Sometimes I just go. But as I'm doing that, I actually physically, as I'm walking, I picture, and I use a spiral. I think of the people in my life. I start with what I'm grateful for as the people. And I look at my children, and I look at my wife and my friends, and then I move out to my close friends and business associates are considered to be my extended family. And I go further out to people that I meet on the street, and I just think of them and give so much gratitude to God for having me have the gift of these people in my life. And then I think about my own inner gifts, my physical body that is healthy and vital, and I see it. You know, I've talked to so many people who, you know, they hate their body. Well, if you hate your body, how can you love yourself? If you hate your body, how could you ever be happy? This is the vehicle. You know, this is the temple. So I think about my body and give thanks for the workings of my muscles and of my facial expressions that I use and exaggerate and my insane voice and all the stuff that I do in my mind that is so stimulated. And part of being grateful is not just capturing your body and your family. It's capturing the moments you can be grateful for. I call them magic moments. Because my belief is at the end of your life, you're not going to remember your whole life. You're going to remember moments, aren't you? Sometimes those moments are really unique, and sometimes they were just a great smile, a great laugh. You know, a great time you spent watching a sunset, a conversation that you had. And one of the things that I think most people fail to do is they're only noticing the big things in life, and they're missing the little things that are really the big things. So stop and think, what are some of the magic moments of your day? What were some of the magic moments of yesterday, of this week? What was something, a time you laughed? What was a time in which you shared a thought with somebody? When was a time that you were inspired? What was something that was really great that happened? So I give gratitude and I give thanks for all of that. Because see, most people have a prayer. You know what their prayer is? When they're in trouble. God, dear God, if you'll just help me this time, I promise, I really promise, never again, I promise. Just get me through this hangover. You know, it's like, or dear God, if you just kick the butt of the other football team, you and I will be together forever. Like God's going to pick which team's going to win a sporting event. I mean, come on. Maybe the greatest prayer of all is thank you. Maybe gratitude. Maybe real sincere gratitude that gets you connected to your soul. Maybe remembering those feelings. Maybe getting back where you have that little flutter in your throat. Like I'm feeling right now telling you this because I feel so grateful for my life. I'm so grateful I get to talk to you right now. And that you're still listening, you know? Because I know that in a moment, your entire life can change. On a dime, every one of us in our lives, we have these turning points, these pivot points, where if you just make a slight change, everything changes. Everything. And it's always a change in emotion. Because it's from our emotions that all our decisions are made and all our actions are taken, and from all of our actions is where the results of our life come from. And you got a chance. You got a chance, no matter how great your life is, to take it to another level today, now, in the magic of this moment. Because what you can do is not just make a decision right now, you can make a decision that'll give back to you for the rest of your life if you make it a must. So gratitude for those you love, gratitude for your health, gratitude for the abundance of your life, gratitude for what you envision is going to happen. It has immense power. And gratitude for your problems. Remember, they're a sign of life. You're never gonna get rid of them. The only thing you're gonna do is get a better quality of problem, because when you learn to handle these challenges, as soon as you solve them, a new set will show up. But there'll be bigger challenges, bigger resistance, a bigger opponent. But if you see that that's part of the gift of life and you're grateful for it, then all of a sudden, when everybody else is in anger and resentment and upset, you'll be in joy. Because you know, you won't be like everybody else who's trying to solve all the problems and have never have any. Because you'll know, no. That's like saying, I want to go to the gym and have no weights. You know, it's like you look at those gleaming weights and you go, yeah, baby, let's do it. That doesn't mean you have to live every second in problems. But if you're in a state of gratitude, you won't be living in the problem. You'll be living in the opportunity. You're doing this, by the way. This gratitude can take you 1 minute to 10 minutes. Depends on how deep you want to go. And I'll tell you the secret. You want to be moving while you're doing this. Because remember, emotion comes from motion. You'll find a rhythm that feels really good. The second thing I do is I do a breathing pattern. And that breathing pattern is to stimulate my body while I'm walking there. And the pattern is really simple. It's 1-4-2. And what that means is if you were going to inhale, for example, for 10 while you're walking, so it's... then you'd hold for 40 while you're walking. And then you exhale for 20. Now, the reason you exhale twice as much as you inhale is you're expelling waste products from your system. That's one of the ways your body gets rid of things when you exhale. You're holding in there so you get fully oxygenated. And I'll do this for 10 of these. And what this also does, it stimulates your immune system. You know, people talk all the time about all the drugs they want to do, but the truth of the matter is nothing. Lymphologists, whose whole expertise is the lymph system, your immune system, have found by putting cameras inside the bodies of individuals that nothing you can do can stimulate the immune system as much as a deep diaphragmic breath. Because as you take that deep breath in, it's like a vacuum that sucks the lymph in your body, which is the sewage system, through the thoracic duct and causes you to stimulate the lymph system to cleanse about 10 to 15 times more rapidly than anything else you can do. So you do 10 of these. So what have we done so far? We've been grateful and we've stimulated our body to be as healthy as it could possibly be. Now what's the third thing we do? Now we focus on what we want. You see, one of the things that we got to realize is that your brain, when you're in an emotional state, has the ability to amplify your thoughts. It has the ability to stimulate things to happen. And when you know what you want, your brain starts to find ways to make it happen unconsciously. It's like, did you ever buy a certain outfit, or you ever buy a certain, you know, kind of car, and suddenly you saw that outfit or car everywhere? Well, the outfit or car was always around you. But suddenly now, it's important to your brain, and the part of your brain that pays attention, it's called the reticular activating system. It's a big word, but the RAS, reticular activating system, teaches your brain what to notice. You don't notice most of what's going on. So what you want to do is train your RAS, train your brain about what's most important so that anything that relates to it, it'll start to pick up. It'll sensitize you to it. It'll move you towards it. It's almost like magic. I'm sure there have been times in your life you wanted something so much and you focused on it every day and you put so much emotion into it. And then all of a sudden, like, you met somebody or an opportunity happened. Things just seem to occur if you focus consistently on what you want instead of what you don't want. Because if you focus on what you don't want, guess what? You get a lot more of that too, as I've already said. So now you focus and you take 3 or 4 minutes and you just focus on, you imagine the most important things you want in your life to happen. What do you want for your body? What do you want for your relationships? What do you want for your finances? What do you want for your career? What